embezzlement.
Lots of fraud.
Insurance fraud. Wire fraud.
Oh, God.
God.
Hello, Addison.
Hi, Belly. You're so much more excited. I mean, I always welcome your enthusiasm. I'm cold over here. So I'm not as I'm like, hi, Billy.
It's a very chilly November day.
It is. This Texas girl still, this is my second winter and I have yet to acclimate. And I just don't think I'm going to, but I am excited to talk about, we're 1 week closer to the premiere.
5 days away from season two of Landman. So kind of, here's my plan. We're going to record this podcast and then I'm going to get the audio version live. And then I'm going to immediately watch episode one of season two. So I have that ready. I have been just champing at the bit to watch this, but I wanted to give everybody, I didn't want to accidentally give something away, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
But I also wanted to kind of be there with the people as we sort of talk about it.
Well, that's, I kind of did that, I think for Landman, where then it just, last season, where then it starts to get confusing, where I started talking to you and you're like, shut up, that's not yet, wrong episode. I'm like, yeah, okay. I can't put the cart before the horse. Oh, can't wait till Sunday night. Sorry, Gary, not for Sunday night football.
Yeah, fair enough. Johnny's in. I see Stacy on the chat. A couple of others as well have joined the chat. And as always, you can join the chat. Questions, comments, just reactions to things we're saying. I think today we're really going to get a chance to sort of have some takes on season two. You know, last week was more of a recap, kind of getting you up to speed about season one. We'll have a few takes, a couple theories. And we always encourage your theories as well, if you have them.
Absolutely. Well, let's begin. For those who've been longtime listeners, we do trivia. Do we have, but it's going to be different today.
Yeah, we're kicking trivia towards later in the podcast. Mm-hmm. If you refer to the rundown sheet I sent you, Addison.
I know.
Twitter is actually towards the end. Instead, I have a new feature. This is a fan poll. And I asked this on YouTube about a week or two ago. Real simple. Who is your favorite Yellowstone character? And here's the results. YouTube only allows you to have four options, which is a little bit unfortunate. So I put Tommy, Angela, Ainsley, Rebecca. And then Rebecca.
No one cares about her.
She did not fare very well, did she?
No, 6%. The rest are 12, 70. Which I actually disagree.
You want to know which character people wanted to write in?
Who?
Cooper. A lot of Cooper fans.
Cooper kind of drives me nuts.
Why?
Well, I mean, maybe he doesn't drive me nuts, but I think his personality is like a rock. And he feels a little lost to me.
And
which is not his fault, that is his character, but just sometimes I'm like, he doesn't seem super dynamic.
I feel like he's a little bit more everyman. Like, right? Like, we don't know a lot of people like Angela, but we do know a lot of people like Cooper, who once you kind of get to know them, you understand the intricacies of their personality, the sense of humor, and those kind of things. But I can see what you're saying. He wasn't as fully fleshed in season one because he spent so much dang time at the hospital.
True. Well, today we're going to be covering the two trailers that were released. There's only two, to my knowledge. I only watched two if there's more than that. And so kind of what we're expecting to see, what we learned from the two trailers. Billy, I kind of want to start with Angela and Ainsley, if that's cool with you.
Yeah. It's a little bit difficult to get a feel for how they're going to be involved in some of the central plot points for season two. As far as I can tell, Angela is going to continue to kind of be Angela, mother of the household, in charge of that family dinner, very much supporting her daughter Ainsley, who is moving on to college now. Ainsley appears to have picked her university, which, by the way, I think is going to involve some drama because there's a cast member, a new Miriam Silverman, I believe is her name, who's added she's going to be part of the cast this year as an admissions counselor or person at a college. I got to imagine that there's some sort of friction between Angela and whoever this admissions person is. That's the point of her being in the series.
I wonder if it'll have to do with, like, Tommy Norris at all and, like, the drama that comes with the family, maybe?
I don't know. I think they're going to continue to be sort of periphery characters that support Tommy and what he's got going on business-wise. But maybe not main plot point characters yet.
What we do learn is that Ainsley makes the TCU cheer team. That's all I need to share.
TCU go... what is their logo? The
frogs. I think it's this, right?
Oh, yeah. Horn frog.
They're the horn frogs.
Right.
Because that's why at Texas A&M, we say gig'em. Gigging the frogs. It's a whole thing. We don't need it. That's a different podcast for a different day.
Oh, is that really? It's because of a rivalry once upon a time between those schools?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's why we say
gig'em, like gigging the frogs.
Oh,
now you know.
Learning something new every day.
So essentially, we don't learn a ton in the trailer other than they are going to once again prove to be. I mean, we see a few scenes with Angela where it looks like they're hosting probably some type of like graduation party for Ainsley where there's a ton of TCU get up. And then Angela starts throwing plates at Tommy. Classic, what's new about their toxic relationship? So I think once again, we kind of said last episode, but they're just the personality hires a little bit to add some spice.
Now, I do think Ainsley had a boyfriend in season one, Ryder. I suspect Ryder will be back at least to start the season. I feel like we need an end to that relationship. He can't just be written off and all of a sudden she has a new man.
Billy, have you learned anything about Taylor Sheridan's shows? He definitely does write people off and we never get some closed circles.
And Ryder seemed like a generally good guy too, right? Like he was for the most part respectful and he wants to play football as well, maybe at a different university. Maybe that's what kind of sends them on their way. The other people that I think are going to come back as it pertains to Angela and Angela is the folks at the old folks home. Ethel, maybe? Is there an Ethel?
He's some old folks last episode too. He's really, y'all, he's determined to have these elderly people come back into season two. And I want that for you. That's not something keeping me up at night, Billy.
Well, they're fun, right? They're entertaining. Bob, I believe Bob was the one older, one of the older guys around the table. So I think they'll be back. But yeah, I think that's just about it for Ainsley and Angela, as far as we can tell through the trailer.
Cammy. Ooh, let me read this real quick. Are there any of the characters in this show related to anyone in Yellowstone? No.
Jeremiah from the YouTube chat. By the way, this is the first time we've ever been on Facebook and YouTube. So if you're on Facebook watching, hey, welcome. We're going to try this on Facebook once or twice and see what happens. Engage with us. Let us know you're out there. But to answer Jeremiah's question, no. The only relationship between the two shows is Taylor Sheridan is the writer and creator of both. And that's why we're kind of covering Landman. It's just the Taylor Sheridan connection. But mm-hmm. No, there's no one from the Yellowstone universe that's intersected with the Landman universe. And I kind of hope it stays that way.
I agree. Let's not complicate things. And they're just so drastically two different lanes that, it makes sense when we were trying to connect characters of 1883 and 1923. But at this point, this is a whole different category.
Yeah.
Okay, wait, back to Cammy.
Yep.
We see her in these two trailers very much so stepping in to the leadership role now that her husband or the owner, Tommy's much more of like the leader of MTEX. MTEX.
Why don't you let me sell?
But
this
I won't. Ask and I shall receive. But Cammy's the one who ultimately, you know, has final say. She's the owner, and you can start to see maybe the unraveling. I mean, multiple scenes. She's looking through her late husband's files, and we hear them talking about fraud and different things that I think a lot's going to come to light that Cammy's going to have to deal with from her husband's past that she wasn't aware of and maybe honestly not equipped for, but she's trying not to sink the ship. I think it'll be interesting for the most part, to my knowledge, in the trailers. She has a good relationship. I mean, tension, yes, but good relationship with Tommy. I kind of think by the end of the season, I don't know if they're going to be friends.
So I have four clips from the two trailers. And I've done is I've kind of rearranged them to form a narrative that I think makes sense. And these are all Cammy related.
Okay.
All right. So you ready? Here's clip 9. They're all pretty short. And if you're just listening on the audio version, if there's anything that I need to describe to you, we will. But these first three, I believe, you can enjoy as just an audio-only experience.
But he's dead, Tommy. And now what? I'm supposed to let his trophy wife go and try to pull permits from the Railroad Commission?
I run the company. She owns it. But if you want to fight about it, lawyer up, big boy. Let's go.
All right. There we have Cammy. Mm-hmm. Grieving, but also moving on with the company, with some skepticism from the banks or other oil company executives. We don't know who that person is. He refers to her as a trophy wife. That's certainly not a compliment, nor is it any belief that she can do the job.
Mm-hmm.
Clip 2 shows that she is out to be much more than just a trophy wife.
Why don't you let me sell this thing?
I want success. Get it for me.
I want success. Get it for me. I'm like, pop off queen. I want to see Cammy run the world. Go girl. We'll see. It looks like she's going to have a few breakdowns to run the world, but that's okay.
Yeah. Also, the get it for me.
Get it
speaks
for me.
To what you're talking about. You know, he's talking about how he runs it, and she's using him as an employee who can do her bidding. I don't like that. I mean, I like it in terms of the drama. It's going to be great, but I don't like it in terms of like peace for Tommy and his family. I feel like that is going to be the seed of some of the tension that I think you alluded to.
Right.
Clip 3. This has to do with what she discovers looking through the emails of her late husband, Monty.
Tommy, I have gone through every email, every file. And I now know why Monty was so stressed.
Embezzlement, insurance fraud, wire fraud.
Oh, God.
Embezzlement.
Lots of fraud.
Insurance fraud, wire fraud.
Oh, God.
Oh, God. He was dealing with some bad people. He was either operating solo or he was dealing with some bad actors on the side to sort of keep his company afloat or pad his pockets.
Yeah.
Fighting that while trying to keep the company going when it's vulnerable, people are going to come coming after her and probably start coming after the company in some pretty major ways.
Gosh, and she's finding out all of this for the first time, which is makes sense of why she's unraveling.
So clip 4, and this is the last one. I'm going to play it without audio, and I'll just describe what's happening because the audio actually doesn't correspond to what's happening with the visual. So I'm just going to play this here and I'll describe it.
If we never keep our word,
we see Cammy running, talking to lawyers, she's having a chat, and now she's being approached by a man with a file in his hand and a cheap suit. Two men point guns at that man. He gets down on his knees, puts his hands up in the air, and concedes his point. What does that look like to you?
It looks like, well, I don't really know. It looks like either someone's hired a hitman for Cammy, or
what's he gonna do? Kill her with a vanilla folder?
Is he serving her?
Serving her. I think he's serving her. I think that's absolutely what's happening. Is that he's serving her papers on charges of embezzlement, wire fraud, insurance fraud, or something? Because to the degree to which she's culpable or can be charged for these remains to be seen. Right? She was the wife, so she was attached, but who knows? To what extent, I guess.
Right. I'm really excited. This is an aside, but for those who weren't with us season 1, I'm from Austin, Texas, and have tons of family in Dallas and in Fort Worth. And so where she was just running, that's my aunt and uncle's golf course. And so I'm interested to hear, I remember they were saying that they watched some of the scenes being filmed out there. So I'll have to ask if they ever saw Demi Moore running in that whole scene. I'm kind of curious.
Wow. Can I?
I told you that.
Your aunt and uncle, like, just living the posh lifestyle out there. I assume that's a nice golf course, right? That's not just
they,
like a.
Let's just
a
say this.
Municipal.
They've done well with their life and they have no kids. So no additional expenses.
Let me take a quick pivot here and ask. During our last season of the podcast, we did an episode or two on Landman, and you talked about. A grandfather who knew this business a little extent. What I believe it was Papa Jay.
Papa Jay. Is that right? Yeah, that was a great memory. He teaches oil and gas law at Texas Tech University.
Has Papa Jay chimed in with any opinions on the Landman?
He hasn't. He doesn't like the show because they swear so much in it, and he feels like he's the type of papa that he's the one who mutes the commercials because it's too loud. He loves his Western movies, but this show is just too much for him, and so he always mutes. But I will also say they only have cable, and I don't think Paramount Plus is on. Like, I don't think he has any way to watch this.
He's not a streamer. Okay.
He's not a streamer. He barely has, he has a flip phone that he barely uses. He communicates via email.
You reminded me of a little bit of a brewing argument right now with regards to Angela and Ainsley. You mentioned the swearing and how Papa Jay doesn't like it. A lot of people don't like, or some people, critics of the show, don't appreciate how Ainsley and Angela are often half-dressed, very provocative. I don't know if they're the strongest. I don't know if they're representing women. For some people, they're not representing women in the way they feel like they should be represented. And people have sort of extrapolated that to say, like, Taylor Sheridan, the way he writes female characters is doing the gender a disservice. Where do you stand there?
He definitely leans more into the sex appeal, for sure. And really, when I'm saying that, I guess I see it a little bit on Yellowstone, but I really see it on... Or wait, was it, no, sorry. I was thinking 1923 or 1883. Didn't see it as much there, but I did see it on Yellowstone and obviously Landman. I mean, if we think of the Bunkhouse Girls, Hassie Harrison, that's her.
That's right. Name, right? Yep. Laramie,
like her character. There's definitely emphasis on the sex appeal for sure. Like he's not getting any ugly looking people.
Well, no, that's true. But some of the men are not traditionally handsome, I think you could say. I'm not going to go as far as to call Jacob Laughlin ugly, but he's not traditionally handsome. Would you agree with that?
Mm-hmm.
He does not have the chin, a classic Hollywood chin, like John Hamm does.
But I will say, to your original question, with specifically Landman, I do think there's an extreme that I think he could water it down a little bit, but it kind of doesn't bug me because I think it adds to the contrast of what we're working with. And that's coming from the female.
You need to have those extremes, right? You can't have all Coopers because that'd be kind of a difficult show. You can only have one Cooper. So Angela and Ainsley work on this as an extreme. Now, they are countered quite nicely, I think, by Rebecca Falcone, Kayla Wallace's character, with regards to that show. And then if you sort of look outside of Landman in general, Taylor Sheridan has shows like Lioness, which is all about strong women in the military. Beth Dutton was a very strong woman. Helen Mirren's character, Aunt Kara, was strong. Margaret Dutton was certainly a strong. So he has strong females. Now, to be my own devil advocate, almost all of those women end up naked at some point during the series. Save, I think I went back and I looked. It was Helen Mirren, Faith Hill, and so far, Angela. Kayla Wallace are the only ones who haven't.
Haven't
shed clothes or been in a bikini or something.
Okay, because I was like, I don't think Ainsley has, and I don't think that would be appropriate.
You know, I wouldn't, but she's certainly been.
Lack less of
than
dress.
Fully clothed.
Yeah, fair.
And he does push it too far, I think. I think back at Sarah Atwood and that ridiculous lingerie scene with Jamie after he, after she kills John Dutton in season 5 of Landphone. Like, she shows up with, like, glasses wearing practical. I mean, that was like, I was like, a guy and I was rolling my eyes. Like, I feel like that was too far.
Yeah.
I like the provocative nature of the show, and I can see why people are offended by the cursing. And if that's your out, that's your out. But I grew up with worse, so.
Stop. I think it was more so with Yellowstone. I mean, my Nana only watches, like, G-rated movies, which I'm like, sweet Nana, G is now PG. Like, that's the kind of where we start. But I think with Yellowstone, I think my papa's issue is more so, like, during that time where they really using the F word. I think it was more so, like, truly the, like, time frame I think was his issue. I do have a lot of questions at Christmas over the oil business, which somehow we always end up in conversation about oil. So,
so I have some photos here. I'm just going to kind of roll as we sort of set up our next topic. These are just Paramount Plus provided photos from season two. You kind of get a feel of what we're looking for, but nothing I wanted to stop on necessarily. I just thought they were interesting.
Sam Elliott, who I'm excited to... Oh, we should just, you know, talk about him next after these photos, if you want to.
Yeah, I think Sam Elliott is probably the reason to watch, right? Like, I mean, that was the title of this video as well, Sam Elliott's Dark Side. And we have learned a fair bit about his character, I think. Mm-hmm. Let's start with this clip.
Hey, Bob.
What's the plan here?
We're bringing you home.
You take a long, hard look at me. I wasted 60 years on hope.
We've avoided telling each other the truth for a long time. Let's not start now.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
We've avoided telling each other the truth. Let's not start now.
So that was literally all of the Sam Elliott footage from the two trailers, but a lot you can take away from that. What stands out to you?
I think what stands out to me is that we're going to maybe under with the entering of Sam Elliott's character, Tommy Norris's dad, I think we're going to probably better understand kind of where Tommy came from and maybe generational demons that like are going to fully form his character, who he is today. That we need Sam Elliott's character to come in for, or even the way like Tommy communicates or, you know, stuff like that. Yeah. I think we're going to have a better understanding that we need his character for.
I think we'll have a feeling where Sam or where Tommy Norris,
hey, Bob,
why he's an alcoholic or a former alcoholic. I look at TL, by the way, Sam Elliott's character's name is TL. I look at him and he has kind of roomy eyes. He's obviously in poor health, a fractured relationship. That screen, and the fact that he just hauls off and punches this guy seemingly out of nowhere. And if you're just listening, that was one of the scenes. He's in what looks like a rodeo arena and he just stands up and slugs a dude in the face. That screams alcoholic to me, like some alcohol problems, which would fit in with what we know about Tommy Norris. And what he says about we've avoided telling each other the truth, like clearly a fractured relationship.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited to see Sam Elliott. He just keeps getting those Taylor Sheridan paychecks.
What the circumstances are for why he's coming to live with the Norrises.
I think that he's raised hell in his older age home, wherever they have him. And the administration is like, we've had it with this man. We've had it with TL. You either come get him or we're throwing him out. And then they come in and they're like, okay, we're taking you home.
So in reading a USA Today article, I learned that TL's character is a retired wildcatter in the oil business. So he has oil experiences as well, which explains the quote of, you don't even know the game you're playing. Mm-hmm. He kind of knows what Tommy's up against. And Addison, please tell the people, what is a wildcatter?
Well, feel free to correct me if I'm incorrect on this, but a wildcatter is someone who goes out on land where there's been no oil drilled yet, and he's one who is essentially like searching if this plot of land will have oil. You drill and hope that there's something there, but there's no oil rigs already on it that you would know, okay, this plot of land has oil. Is that right?
I think that's about right. It's a high-risk, high-reward operation, right? Because if you find it, you get to sort of claim that land, but you fail a lot before you actually find it. And I think it takes a certain personality to be a wildcatter. And I think that speaks a little bit to who TL is as well. You know, people use wildcatters as sort of a metaphor in a lot of fields, like someone who's a little bit maybe, I don't know if reckless is the right word, but someone who's just a little free and easy. Plays around the rule book a little bit. Like all that sort of imagery comes with someone who's a wildcatter. He actually appears to be in a wheelchair for reasons unknown. And that's about the most we see of him.
Permanently in a wheelchair, just in a few scenes.
And again, I'd love to figure out what the reason for that is. So, you know, again, it's that generational thing you talked about. We're going to, I think that's going to influence how we see the Tommy Cooper relationship mm-hmm. going forward.
Mm-hmm. We can talk about Cooper and Ariana. I will say Cooper in these trailers, you see him starting to go out on his own with what he's wanting to do. Tommy's questioning where he's getting all this money, which makes me think, oh gosh, are we committing fraud? Like, where is he getting? Is the cartel involved? Like, how is he getting this money to fund his new adventure? I kind of feel like he's a little bit of the, oh my gosh, I'm forgetting his name on Yellowstone. He went to the 4-6s ranch. What is his name? Help me.
Jimmy.
He's a little bit of a Jimmy that I think we're going to naively enter into this. I think it's going to go south because he just doesn't know enough.
Here's the clips from Tommy interacting with Cooper in the trailers.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Hey, where are you?
At Drill Well 7. Dad, I'm playing on the house's money now.
No, you're playing with the devil's money.
So for once in your life, just
please listen to me.
We drilled 6 so far.
Who paid for this?
Who paid for this? Dun, dun, dun,
That bing, appears bing. To me to be the big sort of plot line is who is Cooper in bed with? I don't know the answer to it. There's a lot of possibilities, but clearly he's doing something that's a little bit illicit to fund his oil enterprise. And Tommy's either about to figure it out or has it sort of figured out, but he understands that Cooper, while he's having some success, like, things are going to go south for him pretty quickly.
Hot take. I think because we get a few glimpses of Ariana and Cooper, and it's more so just them, like, shoulder to shoulder, you know, just letting us know that they're together. I think that they aren't going to be a very large plot point in this season. I think that they're just, we need to have a romantic couple somewhere in this show. And I think they're kind of just going to be it. Like, I don't think they're really going to move a plot. Cooper, I think, will on his own move a plot. But I don't think them together are going to be this big plot maker.
I mean, they really got us worked up about that relationship last season. You think that she's just going to sort of fade away and not be a character at the end of this and he'll move on to another?
No. I'm not saying that he'll move on to someone else. I just don't think, like, season one, so much of the storyline did revolve around them, where I think more so we're going to see her step in to, like, shape maybe his character more, like, as a man. But I don't think we're going to have as much of a spotlight on, yeah, maybe I could be so wrong.
You know, I think
you have to know the rules of the game and bend them.
You can see a lot of sort of really parallels between characters across Taylor Sheridan shows, right? And you just mentioned Jimmy and Cooper. I think there's a little bit of Casey and Monica in the Cooper and Ariana relationship.
Mm-hmm. Drilled 6 so far.
Kind of figuring it out in real time. There's a kid kind of complicating things. If you remember, Casey and Monica had a kid before they were married, and it really sort of complicated their relationship. That's my reason for thinking that they're going to be there for a long term together. I think they're going to have some highs and lows, but I think she's going to be here for the duration of the show, and maybe it'll even end up like Casey and Monica did, where they end up kind of being the only thing that survives all of the drama.
Maybe, yeah. Stab at tasteofcountry.com is where you can leave your thoughts. If you know a lot about the oil business, please let us know. I'm curious. If you know a lot about the oil business and you want to be on the show, let us know. I'm just kind of throwing that out there.
Did you see Billy Bob Thornton? I didn't watch the whole thing because, God, I don't have that much time, but he was on the Joe Rogan podcast talking about Man.
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, I didn't see it either. I saw clips and read some articles. He had a little bit of a rant against critics of the show, people who will tell him to his face that the show's good, and then online write about this show sucks or this and that, and I don't know. I guess that kind of bothers me from the fact that it doesn't allow for any sort of nuance. Like, overall, I may think the show's good and we may think the show's good, but if something bad happens or if there's a bad episode or a bad season, like, we get to talk about it and sort of criticize it and be honest about it. And we did that, I think, with Yellowstone. I think I think Billy Bob's a little off base there with his opinions of critics of the show. That's all to say, like, we're going to criticize things on this podcast as we feel. Like, we're friendly and we're like, feel good about it. But like, something stupid, let's point it out, right?
Well, I don't know if even criticize is the right word, but I think feel the freedom to be opinionated.
Yeah. You know, if a wolf gets in the house and kills a nurse, I want to know how that wolf got in the house.
On this podcast, we learn what keeps you up at night. And that from 1883 sure does. Or sorry, 1923.
Yeah. I mean, like, sure that does. Was kind of silly, like, in retrospect. Great show. Great season. Dumb scene.
Dumb scene.
That's all I'm saying.
I have nothing else. I'm looking through my notes.
Yeah, we've got some trivia and Q&A coming up. So far, I had asked people in the YouTube chat who the favorite Landman character is, and the results very similar to before. Tommy getting 69% of the vote, followed by Cooper and Ainsley at 12%, and Angela on this poll is down to 6%.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Well, I have some Q&A for us.
Let's do trivia first.
Okay, let's do trivia first. Let's do trivia first.
Oh, Lynn, not a fan of Sam Elliott, by the way.
Elliott is a Hollywood douche. Never watched. Never watched. Never will.
All right. Wait, that's what I'm saying, Lynn. Your opinion is respected here. I respect you, Lynn. And I don't agree, but I respect your opinion.
Totally. But also, Lynn, watch Landman season 2 so you can come hang out with us every week. Sure. Just saying. All right. You need to close your eyes and mute the TV like my Papa Jay does during Sam Elliott scenes. Totally heard. But come hang out. Okay, trivia, Billy. Hit me. And everyone trivia who's watching this week and listening.
Mm-hmm. Longtime fans of the podcast know that we have we do trivia. And you get to pick one of the great Dutton Rules t-shirts from the Taste of Country store. It's not going to be just the first person to correctly answer the trivia question. It's going to pick someone at random from all correct answers. This will also allow me to pick trivia questions that are a little bit easier. I won't have to feel like I'm challenging everybody. And also people like Johnny, who asked earlier, are back in the pot, can win the prize again. Because at the end of the week, we'll pick one correct answer for one of those t-shirts. Tasteofcountrystore.com is where you can go to find those. Wonderful outerwear. And I think I got a pretty good question this week.
Hit me.
During an interview with CBS Sunday Morning, Billy Bob Thornton named Sam Elliott as one of his lifelong mentors. And this got me wondering, how far back do these men go? What was their first major motion picture together? Choose one, and I'm going to choose one person from all correct answers. If you're watching, you have to answer correctly in the comment section, not in the live stream chat. Because the live stream chat disappears, so you have to answer the question in the comment section to be eligible. So the very first Sam Elliott, Billy Bob Thornton film, which I'm really excited to share a clip of next week.
I think I know. Okay.
You want to private chat me? You can private chat me.
Okay, please hold. Talk amongst all yourselves, right, we'll see you guys. Everyone. Actually, no, I might not. I feel dumb. Hold on.
Well, I'll tell you this. It's not that hard of a trivia question. And it's a really, really famous movie.
Oh, I was so wrong. I just looked up the... Oh, wait, crap. Sam Elliott's in this, but I'm realizing Billy Bob Thornton is not. I'll still tell you this, the movie I thought it was. It's definitely not. I'm just going to slack you because I'm too nervous that I'm going to give it away in the live stream on accident. It's not.
It is not. Addison guessed The Big Lebowski, which is a great Sam Elliott film.
Billy! You just outed me!
It's not a bad guess. I don't think Billy Bob Thornton's in that movie, though.
He's not. As soon as I said that, I was like, I knew Sam Elliott was. And then I was like, crap, I don't know if Billy Bob Thornton. And then I had already voiced my 2 cents. And then, anyways. All right. Well, to deflect from myself, first want to remind y'all, staff at tasteofcountry.com. is always where you can email us if you're not watching on YouTube, Facebook, or, I guess if you're just listening. But I'm going to wrap things up, get the tension off of myself and my wrong answer, and I want to dive into Q&A if you're ready.
Hit me.
Okay. The first one, and I apologize ahead of time if I'm not saying your name correctly, is from Keela Kush on YouTube, who says, I'm watching on my TV, so y'all's faces are more life size, which that's fun. Addison, your makeup looks lovely. Oh, wait, thanks, girl. Your foundation looks pretty flawless to me. What's your secret? I was hoping someone would eventually ask. I use, for the girlies out there, I use Ilia foundation.
Ilia, sure.
Ilia, it's a clean beauty product. And I use Tarte Lip. Anyways, feel free to DM me on, almost said on Taste of Country. Don't DM me on Taste of Country. DM me on my own Instagram. That's at Addison Haker. If you actually want some links, because I will, but people probably didn't come here to, oh, the stream might have cut off. Or do you want me to keep going?
I think the stream cut out on the YouTube version. I'm not 100% certain on the video, but we still want to capture the audio.
Okay. I'll keep yapping.
So we'll keep rolling here. And we'll get
also,
back
you said, if you want to know makeup products, please, it's at ADISONHAAGER on Instagram. Okay, the next one is from LG Nats on YouTube, who says, I don't usually make predictions, but after watching the second trailer again, I was struck with a thought. I think Cammy is being set up, and so to give her support, Tommy goes, quote, off the grid for help and researches, or and reaches out to Galliano to fight back. I don't know.
So, a Cammy Galino, I think it's Galino. Sorry. I've been pronouncing it wrong. A Cammy Galino possible relationship there, and Cammy being set up with these charges. I like it as a theory. Not sure how that plays out, but I like it because it makes Monty look a lot better at the end of the day. That's intriguing. Who would be the one to do that, perhaps? Who would be the one to set up Cammy in that kind of way?
See, that's the thing. I'm like, I don't know.
Another oil man, perhaps?
Yeah, I think perhaps someone we don't know of yet.
Yeah.
Alrighty, the last one is from SM31156 on YouTube, who says, I'm excited about Sam Elliott joining Landman. I have always had a huge crush on Sam. He's so hot. This is going to be a great season.
Just a Sam Elliott gusher. I thought that was appropriate. Is there an 80-year-old man who attracts more fans than Sam Elliott? Like, oldest, like, hottest octogenarian. Addison, go.
Is Harrison Ford older?
Yeah. Yeah, they're the same age, about the same age.
Harrison Ford would be in that, and I feel like I can easily name one more. Who is the main guy who used to play in 007? I'm forgetting his name. He's definitely not 80.
Sean Connery?
Yeah.
Sean Connery, rest in peace.
His 80s. If he potentially listens to this podcast, he's going to be so ticked.
Well, if Sean Connery listened to this podcast, that would be news, Addison.
That would be news. Comment.
Sean Connery died 5 years ago.
What?
No. Sean Connery died five.
Wait, maybe this is not who I'm thinking of then.
He was 007.
Okay,
Pierce Bronson? Were you thinking of Pierce Bronson? Also very handsome?
I think this guy's not who I'm thinking of. Wait, who did you just say?
Pierce Brosnan, 72 years old.
Yeah. Okay, that's who I'm thinking of. Because I'm like, wait, no, this guy's not dead. Pierce Bronson is who I'm thinking of.
You certainly were not thinking of our old friend Timothy Dalton, who played James Bond, but also played the creepy millionaire in 1923.
Yeah, that's not who I'm thinking of. I can tell you right now, that's not who I'm thinking of.
All right, well, there you go. I'm impressed that you could rattle off three hot 80-year-old men. So
thank you.
Good on you. I could not do the same for the women.
Thank you. I don't really have a comment to that, so we'll just let that lay there. Y'all, thank you so much for tuning in. We'll be back same time next Tuesday.
Noon. Brenda Lee, that foxy little minx.
I'm getting the chills and not in a good way, so I think I'm gonna wrap it up for us. But yep. Y'all, thank you so much for tuning in. A Yellowstone Franchise Podcast is another deep diving Town Square Media podcast, and we'll see you next Tuesday. Mm-mm.